When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Game Week 4 Deadline Dilemmas with me, as always, Rich. And I'm really, really glad this week, while we enjoyed Hibbo here, I'm really glad to have Praz back. How's it going, Praz?
Going very well. Back yesterday from holidays and already into the grind. I did the Wire podcast with Zoff earlier this afternoon and here we are. But it's an important time to be podding, so glad to be back.
Yeah, this is the four. I know what a trilogy is. I don't know what the four in a row is, but we've had four Thursdays where we've got the Friday deadline the next day.
Correct, so. Correct. Is it the next week as well, or is this the last one?
I thought it was the last one, but I don't.
Next Saturday is fine. Next Saturday is the Saturday. Next week is the Saturday deadline. So
yeah, next week, and that's obviously middle of September. So we've got a little break as well. But yeah,
correct.
And deadline tomorrow for people in the UK is 6:30. So I guess adjust that accordingly, because they've seemed to have a few different, you know, there's been a 6:30, 6:15, just to keep us on our toes.
Yeah, it was the non-televised game that was the 6:15, right? Because it started off earlier. The televised games are usually 8 o'clock, which is Luton West Ham. So yeah, 6:30 deadline. How are you set up?
I mean, I moved early, so it's been a bit of a boring week for FPL. Like, there's been fun things to follow along, but because I've done an early transfer, and I only have one transfer, I've just been kind of sitting there hoping there's not any major news. There's been a few things tempting me, but...
Yeah, but and you went on Saturday night, right? You did Richarlison to Sterling.
Martinelli to Sterling, which freed up a million. I mean, it was a knee-jerk, but it also wasn't. As in, I was thinking about it on Friday during the entire Chelsea game. I was thinking about it. So I had over 24 hours... thinking about it, and I just knew I was going to do it no matter what. I knew we'd get to this point if I hadn't done it, and I'll do it, and it would cost 0.2. Well, it ends up being 0.2, but it could have been 0.3 or 0.4.
Yeah, if Martinelli dropped as well.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think I just knew. I think I've been playing the game long enough to know I was going to do it, so I might as well get that small advantage, even though I hate early transfers. And I mean, you've done the same move to...
Yeah, I've done it. I did it last night, so I saved on the second price rise. But honestly, Saturday was tempting, but I didn't personally do it because it's the weekend Premier League games that worry me more. You know, like what happens to Salah if Salah gets injured? You know, suddenly Jota becomes a better pick than even Sterling. Or what happens if something else happens to Haaland? Then I'd rather do Alvarez, for example. So it's just at the back of my mind where some big players, some big games were happening on Sunday. So I didn't do it, but I do get why some people do it. How is it though? When you do a transfer, a lot of people say, you know, we take away the stress because now you're done and you don't need to think about the transfers or the news anymore. But I actually was more stressed yesterday night after doing the Sterling transfer, even though I knew everything's fine. He's not played and everything, but I was stressed that, you know, what if something goes wrong? So I was even more looking at the news and seeing if everything is okay or not. Are you like that, or are you generally just chilled out after you've done an early transfer?
I think what might have caused the stress yesterday was if you were on Twitter at all, which I know you were, because something I thought about on Saturday, I asked a few Chelsea fans if they thought, you know, Sterling would play against Wimbledon, and the consensus was no. So right. I was pretty set in my mind that he wasn't going to play, possibly not even be in the squad. So when he wasn't in the squad, my first thought was, amazing, I've done it. And then all this doubt creeps in because other people start saying, well, everyone else is on the bench. He's not. Chelsea have got two sub-goalkeepers on the bench. So I think the fear can be put into you, because I was also quite clear on Sterling over Maddison. However, because of listening to content, listening to other people, I've started to bump Maddison closer to how I viewed Sterling in my mind. So, yeah, I think sometimes stuff like this, content, can bring the nerves in, because I was a little bit nervous last night by the end of it, but... all logic said he was going to be fine.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I am with you. And I also did it last night because all the football had been played. And of course, you can always have a short type injury which comes out of the blue. But I think at some point, it is a risk reward, right? So you took the risk of nothing's going to happen on a Sunday, which was for me a little bit of a higher risk. I took the risk after the League Cup that this is now done. All the football has been played. No one's going to play. So I'm going to save on a 0.1. And actually, I mean, when we'll come to my team, now I wish I wouldn't have done it, but I wish I had a 0.1 more because I'm short of 0.1 to get to Trippier from Saliba. So it is just how it is. And I'll live with it. I'll find another way. But it's just one of those things where sometimes that 0.1 can be really annoying as well.
Yeah, I also think it was a really rare thing that happened on Friday night. Because first of all, the game being on Friday night, if it had happened on Saturday, Sterling probably wouldn't have even risen. Right. You know, before the games had ended, with there not being Monday night football. Correct. So there was that. There's also the fact that Chelsea have had back-to-back absolute banker home games, which is pretty rare in itself. And then also the fact it's Raheem Sterling, who's priced at, you know, FPL legend, who's priced at 7 million. That obviously we had some doubts about him still, but I think everything's come together. I don't think we're going to see a scenario like that very often, particularly with the Friday night game anyway.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm with you. So why don't we start there? Why don't we start with what made you comfortable with Sterling over Maddison?
I mean, there's definitely some bias, as in I've always enjoyed owning Sterling, and I know that's a bad reason, but it's also, you know, pre-season I saw that price of 7 million. The only reason I didn't start with him is just because there were so many other midfielders that were priced so cheap as well. I mean, having like Bruno Fernandes at 8.5
right.
is ridiculous. I mean, it's hard. I think people are finding it hard to get to him because they don't want to sell someone. Part of it was that the fact that Martinelli, while I really do like him, I didn't like having four midfielders all in the same game. It felt like a lot of eggs in one basket. I felt like I'm not going to continue, you know, for 8 weeks, for example, with two Man United and two Arsenal midfielders. I need to mix it up a bit. So what made me go Sterling over Maddison, there was a lot of bias. There's the fact that he's done it more consistently for longer, even though maybe not in the last year. I mean, I was quite low on Maddison in pre-season, and obviously I was very wrong. I think there were reasons like that, but like Kane was still there when I thought that. So I thought they'd be kind of in the same space, maybe getting in each other's way. So my opinion on Maddison has changed, but I can't put him above Sterling, not yet anyway. And even if I do get Maddison, it wouldn't be Sterling that's leaving. I'd have to find another route.
Right. Okay.
Because obviously you've done the move. Were you hesitant at all, or you were just waiting?
I was debating between the two very strongly over the week. And so if you open Lego Mane's fixture chart, I want to just talk through some of my thinking of why I went Sterling over Maddison. And basically, I'm looking at the next four fixtures and not five. I'm looking at the next four because in my head, at the moment, my base case wildcard window is game week 9. So if I am wildcarding in game week 9, the idea is that I want to access the best five fixtures as a block. And I think with Chelsea having Nottingham Forest at home, Bournemouth away, Villa at home, Fulham away, Burnley away, that's a very good block of five. And then in game week 9, they reach Arsenal at home, which hopefully if my wildcard window plans stay, then I will be wildcarding him out anyway. So I don't mind a triple up with Chelsea in that regard. The difference between that and Spurs is Spurs have two excellent fixtures. Although I think people are underestimating Burnley a little bit. Burnley at home is a very different beast. Game week 1, when they played Man City, they were actually fairly impressive. So they've only played two games and people have sort of looked at the XG conceded and said, they're rubbish. You know, away to Aston Villa and home to Man City is as difficult as it gets. So that's one. Although I do think the next two fixtures for both Spurs and Chelsea are fairly similar. So Spurs obviously have Burnley away and Sheffield United at home. Sheffield United at home is a banker. Maddison should do very well. Then after that, it's Arsenal away and Liverpool at home. Now, you can say Arsenal away, North London derby, always goals. I think that becomes a little bit anecdotal. It is a tough game. It's an away game to the second best team, at least from last year's league table. And then at home to Liverpool, again, Liverpool are leaky. Van Dijk should be back by then. Is Maddison going to get a 10-pointer, 15-pointer? I think the odds are slightly less when it's Liverpool versus when, you know, a Chelsea is playing a Fulham away. So from that point of view, in the next four, I made up my mind that clearly Sterling is better in terms of fixtures only. Then you get to game week 5, and that's when the money game for Spurs comes, which is away to Luton. Now, we could find out on Friday that Luton at home is a very good team and their crowd is on their backs and it's a hard fixture. I don't know yet. For now, my information is that Luton have looked fairly easy to get to. I think you can back a team to score 3-4 goals against them. So I think I wanted Maddison for game week 9, for game week 8 against Luton. Well, what I can do is I can sell Saka because Saka plays Man City. So if I am going to wildcard in game week 9, I have a nice dead end into getting Madison in game week 8. I've solved that problem. So this is at least in my head as of now. People who've listened to me know that I do at least 4-5 game weeks in the future in terms of planning. I plan to get Madison in game week 8 as things stand. Obviously, I could have 5 injuries and things change. But at the moment, that's the plan. So if I can have Sterling for the first 5, Madison for the 5th game in the 5 that I like the most, I think that's my compromise. And then the last thing is obviously Sterling is a little bit cheaper. And so that 0.5, 0.6 saving that I was able to make on Sterling, that allows me a little bit of flexibility to do some stuff going forward. That could be Newcastle defense. I could get to a Trippier. I could get to a Share as my 5th defender and so on and so forth. So I just thought that 0.5 may be helpful later.
Yeah, and it's a good point on fixtures as well. Because when you look at Chelsea, you look over the next 5, the hardest fixture, it's the Villa game, but it's at least at home.
Correct.
Whereas, like you say, with the Spurs one, they got, you know, Arsenal's away and the Liverpool at home. Also, there's part of me that thinks, I mean, Sterling, I think, I mean, maybe some people would debate Enzo's better. I don't think many would, but I think Sterling is the best Chelsea midfielder there is. Mm-hmm. There is still, as good as Madison's been stats-wise, and, you know, even with the eye test, both, to be fair, is he definitely the best Spurs midfielder? We still don't know who's on penalties, for example. I mean, I wouldn't mind waiting. And then, yeah, for that Luton game, could look at Son, could even possibly look at Richarlison again. Things could change so much after the international break. So that, I think that's why I did mull that over as well. And I think that's why I found it quite easy to go Sterling. And the price thing's a really good point as well.
Yeah. And I should add, actually, if people aren't like me looking at a game week 9 wildcard, and, you know, a lot of people play, I'll play the wildcard when my team needs it. Absolutely fine. I have no issues with that. Other people will say, okay, I can just transfer Sterling out to Madison. Do all of that. No problem. All I would say is have a plan to hold a player for a certain horizon. Because I think if I wanted to go from Madison, then I would say I like him longer term. Because who does Madison play in game week 9? He's home to Fulham. Banker game. So if you're going to be wildcarding in game week 9 and then you have Madison already, it'll almost be another reason for you to say, do I need to wildcard? Madison's playing home to Fulham. I actually don't want that problem. And I'd rather just go Sterling for now and then deal with that later. Because Spurs are good for a while in terms of fixture run. So that's another small thing to think about.
No, it's a good point. It is a much, much longer window with Spurs, although I'm not feeling that impatient. I don't know when I'm going to wildcard. I don't think I'm as confident as you that I'm going to wildcard in 9, although there's definitely some mess I might want to sort out by then. But
it's not even about the mess. I mean, I will do some content over the international break to talk about my thoughts on what I think are 3 clear windows that people could look at. I mean, if you include this international break as well, then maybe 4. And at the moment, the fixture swing or the way the things have shaped up for me looks fairly clear that I'll be making at least 6 or 7 changes in game week 9. People could just go Madison now. They could have already an Ollie Watkins or something like that. And they could say, I'm only 4 players behind that. So that's fair enough. I mean, if you do, you don't have to play a wildcard. You'll have an advantage whenever you play the wildcard. It's when you have the most advantage.
Yeah. And to be fair, yeah, 6 or 7 sounds like a lot to me, because I was thinking earlier, how many would I want? And it probably would just be like 4 starters. If I change 4 starters and possibly the structure as well, I'd go for it. And it's actually a good point you made on Saka, because obviously Saka, you said you might look at selling him if you're wildcarding in 9 because they play Man City. I suppose people who've held, like if they got Odegaard and Saka, for example, and they're going to wait a couple of weeks, they might as well wait till game week 8 after the Bournemouth fixture and get rid of their second Arsenal midfielder. And then you probably would go for Madison. I'd agree with you there. Or you could look at Son or Richarlison.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I guess we'll sit here every Thursday and we'll be debating, why are people selling certain players when they're so good? I mean, Mitoma falls in that category. Martinelli falls in that category. People are selling Rashford this week. People were selling Bruno last week. All of them sound really bad. I mean, why are we selling such good players, or almost talisman in their teams? And we do it because we are chasing hauls from teams which have good talismanic players who are playing an easy, even easier game, or embarking upon an easier fixture run. You're taking a punt. Obviously, things can backfire, like people sold Bruno for Foden. I mean, it could have been way worse than what it turned out to be. Foden got an assist, but it could have been. And this is where it's slightly tricky, and people just have to live with the fact that there will be hauls that they miss out on by selling good players.
Yep. So should we go to Man City?
Let's do that.
Should we go to that?
Do you want to read out our teams first so that we're just talking about these players?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. I'll put yours on the screen first of all, just so we can see the difference.
All right. So my team has Pickford in goal. I am playing Chilwell, Ruben Dias. Ruben Dias is the guy who I've replaced James with. So I wish I still had James, but I don't. So I've gone for Dias.
Did you and think we'll talk about keeping him?
James.
Yeah, because there's rumors he could be back for five. I know it's a bit.
I did. But here's what, for me, how it happens. On in-game week five on Friday, Pochettino says, yeah, he looks back. He's in training. We will ease him in. For me, that's the best case. Does that mean he starts? No idea. Does that mean he gets 60 minutes if he starts? No idea. So I was like, there's too many good options and I have two free transfers. Might as well get the prime fixture in Fulham at home from Ruben Dias. And then I can move him on. I mean, I can even do I could have done Trippier straight away, but I'll see. At least I'll keep my options open. But I like City defense. I mean, they give up one chance, and if you're unlucky, they concede from that one chance. Exactly. Did you have Dias for that game?
I had Dias. Yeah, I just because that was my move when the Shaw news broke last week. I brought Dias in. Because obviously he's nailed. And I mean, to be honest, I was so confident in the clean sheet watching the game. I was actually hoping that, ironically, that Walker lost possession a couple of times. I literally only cared about bonus points. And then obviously he did more than lose possession. He was instrumental in Sheffield United actually scoring. But
yes. I mean, I guess it is. We have owned City defenders enough in our lives to know that that's just how it is. I mean, you'll basically be very comfortable watching the City game knowing that this clean sheet looks a banker and then it just goes, you know, like the wind. And that's just how it is.
That would have been three in a row as well, which is crazy when you think about it. So, yeah.
And wasn't he in the bonus? I mean, he was like on 100% pass completion or something.
Do you know what? He wasn't, though. The other defenders were... Walker was second in the bonus. And then, yeah, Gvardiol and Ake. It was Ake, wasn't it? Yeah, Ake were above him.
Okay.
He was only just below them. So I guess, because I was looking into the bonus after that, and I guess he'd gone above the passing numbers needed, as all City defenders would.
Yeah.
And you don't really get, once you're above like 90%, that's pass completion, it wouldn't matter if you got like 2,000 passes.
Right.
It seems to all be about blocks and interceptions and tackles.
Which don't happen.
No, not very rarely for someone like Dias, but yeah.
So yeah, I mean, defense, I'm playing Estupiñán. I debated between him and Saliba, and I think I'll just go for the upside. I think both Man United and Newcastle score, but Estupiñán at least gives me the potential to enjoy the game longer in case he gets an assist or something else. But I'm not too confident on either, and I can see some teams actually benching both, and I don't think that's the end of the world. I think it's fine, and I also think it's fine if you play them. I mean, if you see that defensive position as a low upside one, it's fine. You cannot have 11 sexy picks. And us with Pickford already are starting with 10.
No, that's very true.
We'll come to goalkeepers in a second.
I was going to say, we have to talk about him.
Exactly. So, I mean, midfield, I'm very happy with. I don't think selling Rashford or Bruno ever came into my mind. I'm happy to hold them. Again, looking at my eight-week game week horizon, they've got a few nice home games coming up, and I'm happy to hold them through those nicer games. I mean, I'm not expecting much from Arsenal away. Anything will be a bonus. But between now and game week 9, they play Brentford at home, Palace at home, and Brighton at home as three of the next four after the Arsenal game. So happy with that.
And possible
the
other one is captain options in game week 8 as well.
I know. I mean, there's no captain in game week 8. I did notice that because obviously City play Arsenal. And you could either think of a Madison type if Luton look weak or a Man United guy.
Yeah, that was exactly why I decided to... Yeah, I never contemplated selling the United players.
Indeed.
Purely because of that. I mean, I don't know if I actually would captain them, but it's nice to have the option.
Yes, I agree. And I think a lot of people will just default to Haaland if he's still looking great. But I'm with you. I mean, if we then go back to the team discussion, actually, why don't you read out your team and talk about what transfers you've made? So just to summarize, I've done James to Ruben Dias and I've done Martinelli to Sterling. It leaves me with 1.3 million in the bank, which doesn't get me to Trippier right now, but I'm open. I mean, I think if Trippier drops, for example, in value, even by 0.1, I can do Saliba to Trippier, or I can do Kabore to share later. Or if I need the money, I could do Saliba to share. I'm open to any of that.
Yeah, so you're looking at the Newcastle defenders in the
from
short
game
term.
Week six onwards.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, I'll load mine up. We are similar but different. I mean, visually it looks very different, even though I think we're closer than it suggests. But yeah, I've also got Pickford in goal due to the Pickford and Turner rotation. Yeah, I've got Ruben Dias, Chilwell, and Robertson, who I obviously bought in the other week. And at the moment, I've got this spot. It's like my 11th man. I'm not sure who I'm going to be playing. At the moment, Rico Lewis is there. Then I've got Rashford, Bruno, Saka, Mbeumo, and Sterling. So we've got the same five midfielders, I believe.
Yep.
And then Haaland captain up top. Now, going back to Rico Lewis, this is my dilemma. So like I said, I did Martinelli to Sterling. That was my only free transfer. I've got a whole million in the bank.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I can't do something like Yao Pedro to Alvarez because not only am I 0.1 short of that move, but I've already got three Man City players.
Right.
So my dilemma is if I play Rico Lewis, Archer, who got 60 minutes last night, Yao Pedro, who's now been benched twice in a row, but he's at home on penalties, and then Estupinan, who's at home to Newcastle and obviously has the attacking threat, even though the clean sheet seems very, very unlikely. So I need to start one of those. And the reason I've got Rico Lewis there at the moment is, I mean, I don't know if we're going to get any kind of leak because of the Friday deadline.
Yep.
My thinking is if he either starts or he doesn't. Obviously, that's very, very dangerous in a game where, you know, City could, you know, be 5-6-0 up and then sub players off. And he also has the best attacking threat of any City defender. So do I play him? But then Archer's a good asset, but then is he actually going to make his home league debut?
I think he said in the press conference today that he might start. And he did start the Carabao Cup as well.
He used the word, in contention. I never know how to read that. It means different stuff with different managers.
I mean, they can't afford. It's a game against Everton. I mean, it's almost like you can already say it's a relegation six-pointer, even though it's so early in the season. But both these teams look like they will be there or thereabouts in the bottom six. So
it is a big game. Yeah. And I spoke to, there was a Sheffield United fan I spoke to yesterday, and he was saying that while Norwood's on penalties, he's only taken one in the last 12 months. Obviously, I believe he took the first one in the shootout yesterday and scored.
And so, he missed the one last season.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the only one they took. So the penalty situation there could be murky, although that's probably clutching at straws that I'm going to assume Archer's definitely on penalties, but it's just a shame it's his first game for Sheffield United, as in league game.
If I was you, I would chance it with João Pedro. I mean, the thing is, he may start, number one. So, you know, that's already your quids in if he starts. If he doesn't start, I'm trying to think how the Newcastle game will play out. I mean, Newcastle are a solid defense. So if you think that it's 0-0 or Newcastle are ahead 1-0 by the 55th minute or something, João Pedro comes on, they will still go for goals, for a couple of goals. So I don't know. It's difficult. I mean, these are all very close. It's not an ideal spot to be in. I mean, obviously you've already done the transfer, but had we thought about it, would you have considered instead of Sterling going to Eze and then getting Jackson instead of João Pedro?
See, I'm still quite hit averse, so probably not. Although I should say this, last week you did message me after, you know, me and Hibber were on, and you did suggest I did the hit for Jackson and Gusto.
Yeah, well,
and that
then you wouldn't have had Sterling. Then you wouldn't have had Sterling. So we won't know if that actually is working out or not. Or
exactly.
We know it only after 3-4 weeks.
No, exactly. So yeah, I don't think I would have. I wanted Sterling that much. And whether that's a flaw or not, I mean, it probably is, but I was pretty much, I'm going to get Sterling. And I've done it. And now I don't have to think about that spot anymore. I mean, in hindsight, I talked a lot last week about how I was happy with Yao Pedro being my first sub, but I didn't really expect him to get benched again. And now I am looking at people with Jackson thinking, if I had Jackson, my team would be obviously a lot better.
I mean, you could still take a hit for Wissa.
I've looked at Wissa. I've looked at waiting a week or two, though, and then looking at someone else though. So
Bournemouth at home, he could pay off the hit. I mean, if Pedro doesn't start and you've got a Rico Lewis doesn't start, Estupiñán gets a point, then Vissa could pay off. But I'm going to tempt you for a hit every week, so don't worry. And you know, that's just how it is. I just worry that you're playing with one striker now because you've now blocked out from Alvarez, and Jackson seems a little bit far off in your reach.
A big reason I'm doing this is the 4-5-1. Now, having Robertson in a 4-5-1, Robertson and Rico Lewis in a 4-5-1 is not why I want to do it. But it's obviously, we talked about the Newcastle defenders. They're going to come into play now. So I think if I can get through this week, I can reconsider, because I do want to, yeah, target the Newcastle defenders heavily. There are other options like Awoniyi as well. The fixtures are there a little bit mixed. And maybe Archer. Maybe Archer's, you know, better than we think. I mean, we've all got in our heads that he's going to be.
I mean, Matthias in the chat says buy Carlton Morris. That's another option.
That is an option actually pre-season. I did think I might actually move to Morris. And we know
Luton's
for sure.
Fixtures are amazing. They're second on the ticker until game week 8.
Yeah,
I mean, not that they're going to score a bucket load of goals, but they're still good fixtures.
And he's definitely on penalties, which there was a little bit of doubt pre-season. We thought, Luton fans thought he was, but we now know for sure. So I think there's options. But I'm going to be targeting the Newcastle defenders. My benching headache, yeah. I think I'm going to be between Lewis and Archer, if I'm honest. I'm worried about Pedro now. But
I mean,
but he's a good sub. Like I'll keep saying that because he's definitely going to come on. That's
he is. Yeah. I mean, he's better for me than. I mean, I get your argument that you just play Rico Lewis and you hope for the best. I get it. And it's unlikely that he doesn't come on. But my point is, if you're hoping for a Rico Lewis show or no show, a João Pedro show could maybe have a higher upside than, I guess not, it's Newcastle. It's fine.
See, these cheap defenders, I see what happened with last week with Gusto and Udogi, you know, they don't have to be cheap, but that defenders can do not that much and get massive hauls. As in, Gusto was like, okay. Yeah. As in, they kept an expected clean sheet and he got a couple of assists with low underlying numbers. That's the kind of thing I'd hope for like a defender like Lewis. But obviously, it's a pipe dream, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed. Indeed.
And yeah, I've given myself a bit of... I think of it as the worst benching headache ever, because none of the four, I actually think, yeah, this is the one. The most nailed one is Estupiñán, but... But that would be the EO pick, I think, just to play him and not worry
just
about
be fine.
It. But...
I mean, I would... If you're set on Rico Lewis, you could just play Estupiñán first sub.
And I knew someone in the chat was going to ask why I have Robertson. And so, interestingly enough, he's taken 12 corners this season, much to some Liverpool fans' disbelief. And I think
he's getting all of them on the left, right? And then Szoboszlai is taking the ones on the right with Trent.
He's had a few on both sides, but generally it seems to be in the first half. Like, I don't know why that is. And then the next game, I assume that Robertson's not going to be taking them, and he is again. So he could be taking them off them at any time. And it was a Trippier placeholder. That was the key.
Yeah. And I guess the Van Dijk red card doesn't help you in that regard, where there's not the guy to put that cross in when he does take the corner.
No, it's not ideal. And I was thinking about, I mean, I actually almost went Van Dijk. So I've dodged a real bullet there. I don't know what I'll be doing. Then I would have regretted moving early for Sterling, because I'd have Van Dijk suspended the next day. Yeah, which I wouldn't have known about. But yeah, anyway. But I doubt many people have a dilemma like that.
Yeah. Okay, let's do a quick team by team, right?
Yeah, I'll go back to the ticker again.
Yeah. And I guess we'll try to address other people's dilemmas, because you and I have made our transfers, like early transfer, rogue players, but let's talk about City. So I think I guess the City dilemma is Foden in. I mean, have you considered Foden in as a midfielder option instead of Madison or Sterling?
So for me, again, it's very unique to my situation, but I was blocked off Sterling. I knew that, you know, Saturday, because I've got three City already. So
assume you don't have. I mean, I know you're a Foden fan as well. So
yeah, if I didn't have three Man City, I would have found Foden v Sterling quite difficult, and especially after news today, like Fulham look like they're going to be in an absolute mess. They've looked quite messy as it is, to be fair, but you know, completely different to the start of last season, Fulham, so that could be an absolute massacre. But then, and we're going into the international break, so is he going to bother to rest players? And Pep's not actually on the touchline, which probably means they're going to take less risks. So I'd imagine, I'm not Luke, but I'd imagine Foden starts, especially after missing the last game.
He definitely starts. And this is the biggest fixture. So if you're a Foden owner, if you're buying Foden, I think Fulham at home is the fixture that you want your returns. I mean, because after this week, you know, after the international break, it's away to West Ham, which is okay. Then the Champions League starts. Then you have Nottingham Forest at home, which is a very nice game, but it's just before Newcastle away in the Carabao Cup. So it's just basically City going to the midweek and weekend games constantly. And I was talking about it today in the pod as well, that in that period between game week 5 and game week 8, there are 7 games, of which at least 4 are away. And if one of the Champions League games is also away in the first 2, then that's 5 away games in the next 7. So after Fulham, it becomes a lot more trickier. And basically, if you're not going Foden this week, forget about him. You're not going to pick him. So this is the thing. So if you're going for a Foden, pray to whichever God you pray to or do whatever you need to do, because Fulham game is the game. And it's very likely that he does very well in that game.
Were you at all tempted with it? Or is it just the reasons you said with the away games that you decided?
In fact, I was fairly tempted. But when they drew Newcastle last night, then this was one more reason for me to say Carabao Cup away to Newcastle. Pep usually doesn't rotate too heavily, but I think, is that the game where he plays the big guns and maybe a little bit of the periphery in Nottingham Forest at home, which is just before? So it just put me off a little bit. Also, maybe it just reminded me that you don't have to go for Pep roulette when there's other 90-minute options. And then Sterling, if he's also on penalties, he's also saying the right stuff in terms of he wants to be the goal scorer. All the things we talked about for Sterling, I just thought, and the price, I just thought that's the one I can go for. But nothing wrong with Foden at all.
No, and I agree with that. On the penalties is a good point, because I see, Sterling's much closer, we think, to penalties than Foden, because Foden would be. I know Haaland just missed, but it's unlikely Foden's going to be on penalties. I think Madison, he's probably closer to having a chance of taking a penalty than Foden as well.
I think Son, he's closer, but I do think Son, again, took the first penalty in the shootout. Not that it matters too much, but I think Son will just play rank, right? I mean, he was fairly selfish even in the year that he was going for the golden boot.
Very true.
He even asked for a pen, I think, was it, with Kane? But he's always the deputy with Kane. So for me, I would guess that Son is the one who's on pens. But Sterling being on pens, I mean, it's the old thing, right? I mean, is he great at pens or not? I mean, do you want him to be on pens? Well, but I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting the other... Well, it wasn't the last Scoutcast, it was the one before, but Seb did a breakdown on it. I mean, the short answer is Watkins better with or without penalties? And it was obviously with penalties. But he went into a lot of depth, and I think that's going to apply to, probably most players. I think it would have to be me taking a penalty for it to be bad, bad for them to be on penalties.
I think it's like 50%, right? I mean, if you score 50% of your pens, let's say 51%, then you're getting 6 points plus bonus. And if you're not scoring them, you're getting a -2. So actually, even if your conversion rate is over 50%, you're fine. I mean, you want your player to be on penalties.
That's the thing. And I think most professional footballers would be over 50%. Imagine, exactly. Even someone like Edison, you'd imagine. So we'd like Foden, but maybe there's just not room for him at the moment.
Some people are going for this midfield of Foden, Sterling, Madison, Saka, and Bruno.
Okay.
Or Rashford. So basically you have 5 of the best talisman from the better teams that are around, except Liverpool. So yeah, I think that's viable as well. But for people who are not on wildcard or who are quite far away from that structure, I don't think there's anything wrong with keeping double Man United or even a double Arsenal if you wanted to.
No, I agree with that. So
Alvarez, to finish off Man City.
No, that's a good
point. What do you think of him?
Well, what was interesting, again, looking at this, it was looking at the set pieces. It was actually Korf. He put together a thread with all the corner takers. And Alvarez was, I was shocked at that Alvarez was on most of the set pieces. I mean, I'd seen him take a couple, but I didn't actually realise the volume that he was getting, which is, I mean, it's always going to be good for a player to be on set pieces.
Correct.
That made me a little bit higher on him. And the fact he's obviously cheaper than Jackson as well. I think he's 6.6 now. So he's risen once. I still prefer Foden, but then I guess a lot of debates are going to come down to this, aren't they? Because there's just too many midfielders. So I think most teams are struggling now with that, if they don't have Jackson, with that second striker spot.
Correct.
So I think that's where he fills in. And probably like you said, you're not going to have 11 superstars in your team. But I mean, Alvarez is pretty close. pretty close to that. So yeah, I don't mind it. I don't mind it at all. I just can't afford it. I'll get to it.
I still prefer Jackson. So a question in the chat on Alvarez versus Jackson. I think Jackson's just a longer term comfortable pick. Alvarez is explosive. He can get you a 15-pointer in one game, but then also that'll be sort of counterset by a one-pointer in the odd game as well. And then with the base case of maybe 3-4 points. So I don't think there's too much in it. You know, Alvarez with reduced minutes, Jackson with great fixtures, but I do prefer Jackson if you can get to him for 0.6 more.
I do think I'm leaning that way. As in, if I was wildcarding, I probably would go for Jackson. He's grown on me a bit as the window's gone on, and obviously the window's not shut yet. You know, I did think Chelsea were going to sign someone. Mm. I mean, but they haven't yet that I know of, unless something's going to break at the end of the episode or something.
Not a striker. Obviously, they signed Cole Palmer.
Of course, but, yeah.
Nobody for Jackson.
No. So Jackson's pretty much got that role locked in, which, to be fair, a lot of people have said. I was just quite sceptical that Chelsea would, you know, sign someone. But so, yeah, that's interesting. So Jackson for me. So I'm starting to change my mind a little bit. So maybe I should apologise to Hibbo as well. Arguing that João Pedro was better value for money. Yeah.
I mean, I had a similar feeling when the season started, because if the guy's taking preseason penalties, he starts the first game, takes a penalty, you suddenly think you have a gem on your hand who's going to be 7 million by game week 6. But then I think the commentary after that has been poor, right? I mean, it's been like, this guy's not doing what I want him to do yet. That just means time in the bench for a while.
Yeah, it's made him a 12th man at best. And in my case, possibly a 13th man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So to be clear from the chat, Skywalk is saying Chelsea searching for strikers. I think what we're saying is they aren't anymore. I think they're done with their business.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I was speculating that they might sign someone, but it doesn't look like they are. So yeah, keep an eye on, you know, when the transfer window closes, we will know for sure.
Yeah, indeed.
We've talked about Arsenal, United. I mean, I think we should talk about Newcastle.
Let's do that.
Because you've obviously mentioned you're looking at getting the defenders in. I'm looking at the same thing. Obviously, Botman was the... I do feel bad for people, you know, that bought Botman in, because I think he was a brilliant option on the bench, you know, to come in basically for this fixture run that's about to come up. That's why people had Botman. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we've got a timeline yet. They said it looks better than they first thought.
But we don't know if that better is like 4 weeks instead of 3 months, or is it 5 days instead of 3 weeks? That's, we don't know.
That's the thing. And when we want them, you basically want them after the international break, when they've got, we have Brentford at home, Sheffield United away, Burnley at home, West Ham away, which maybe is not a great fixture anymore, the West Ham one. But then Palace at home, yeah, game week 9, although I guess you might have wildcarded by then. But
yeah.
Yeah, so Trippier, are you worried about him?
I'm not worried. I just think he's an opportunity for upside. I mean, I treat him a little bit like Salah, where most people will not be able to get to him. Now, obviously not the same upside. I'm not comparing him in terms of X points, but in terms of just affordability, where if certain teams have a way to get to him, other teams will just ignore him because of the fact that he's unreachable. Mm-hmm. And so I think these three fixtures, game week 6, 7, 8, where, let me just find what they were again. Yeah, he plays Burnley at home, West Ham away, and Crystal Palace, as you mentioned. I think those are good fixtures to back him. Now, the problem is their Champions League draw is hard as mm-hmm. it gets, right? PSG, Milan, and Dortmund. But will Eddie Howe really sort of rest him in the Premier League games, where I think Newcastle's goal this season is still top four? I think if you give them top four and losing out in the group stages, I would think they would be okay with that. I mean, you were just growing as a club, another year in the Champions League. Of course, everybody wants to progress. And I think Newcastle could progress. I think they're second favourites anyway in the group, but it's just tough. So I just don't have a view on whether he misses the games or not. And at the moment, my view is he will start. And maybe we see certain games where he comes off at the 70th minute, 60th minute, but he should start and he should do well. So I'm still sort of making room for him. And this is why I held some funds and I have funds for him. You've got the Robertson position. I'm not committing to him yet. I'm going to wait till game week 6. And then if I can get to him, I'll be happy to get to him.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, they clearly qualify for the Champions League much earlier than they expected to. So you would imagine, yeah, just qualify. I mean, I'm sure they want to do well, but yeah, qualifying again would be, you know, an incredible achievement. And I've not seen anything really, apart from speculation, and we have to speculate a lot in this game, to say that he's going to be rested. So I'd actually want to see it, because the number of times I've missed out on a player because I've speculated on something or heard someone speculate, I think he's an easy player to bring in. I mean, he is for me because I've messed my team up by going Robertson. But, you know, that was a placeholder so that I could afford it. So, yeah, I'm happy just to go there. And if he was benched and becomes a problem, then so be it. I mean, how many games would he really miss, you know, across that run, for example, as well?
It's just when they miss an easy game where you want them, you know, like the Burnley at home. If that's the one he misses because he's played Man City at home in the Carabao Cup, and then he has, let's say, PSG away in the midweek after that, then Burnley at home becomes a little bit uncomfortable. You'll be looking out for the lineup. But as I said, I think base case, I think he starts every one of them. I do expect him to sort of come off early if they're winning, which for a defender is fine. I mean, as long as it's after the 60th minute, I'm happy to bank the clean sheet. I think it happened a couple of times last season where they conceded after he went off. So is it the end of the world that he comes off? No. But is it worth sort of sweating over when he's 6.5 million and some teams can't get to it? I think some people will be put off and won't do it.
And talking about set piece takers again, he's obviously right at the top. You know, he dominates the set pieces for Newcastle. So
correct. And which then means he's creating more chances, which means he's high on bonus. All the stuff that made him a great FPL asset last year, I think people sort of looked at the clean sheets last season, the second half of last season, and said, you know, Newcastle are not that good. I think you and I are more stronger believers of underlying data. And from underlying data, Newcastle is a very, very good defense.
Yeah, I get this. Sometimes there is a good time to buy cheap if you've got a plan for it. But yeah, I don't feel like, I mean, I know Botman's injured, but I don't feel like Botman against Trippier is particularly close. I don't think, you know, Botman's going to, because I've seen some suggestions that the cheaper defenders could cover Trippier. Like, let's take Cher for an example. He's got a much better goal threat than Botman. He's got very good goal threat, in fact. I think he was up there with Gabriel last season for like shots and XG. But he's not going to cover Trippier, because Trippier, while he's not a goal scorer, he's just racking up the bonus points each and every week. It's
correct. Correct.
And I think that's worth the extra money.
It could be, but I think where Cher works is some teams that can't get to a Trippier but want to access some of the clean sheets that they will get. And they don't want to sell a Stupinian, let's say. And they want somebody who can play some of the games where a Stupinian is playing Liverpool or Man City. Having a Newcastle defender would cover that well. Now, as it turns out, Udogie also covers a Stupinian really, really well in terms of rotation. So you don't have to go for a Newcastle defender to cover it. But do you trust Spurs defense over Newcastle defense? Even though Spurs have kept 2 clean sheets and Newcastle have kept none, I still prefer Newcastle defense.
Yeah, I want to be all over it. Yeah, Newcastle and Man City, they're the ones with stats that stick out by a mile. They're the ones who've got the fixtures coming up as well. I want to get as much coverage as that's possible. I know obviously things can go wrong, can't they? We talked about the Sheffield United goal, and that can happen. This, I mean, Newcastle could get no clean sheets in the next 5.
Yeah.
Or they could get 5 in the next 5. It's variance.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And we have to live with it.
What about attackers from, because I did think, would I want to go for Isak? Because I was looking at plans where I'd actually look at 3 Newcastle defenders and play the 4-5-1. But then I thought, maybe I want to get Isak, even though he's subbed off early. If Wilson's on the pitch, we know he's not on penalties. Newcastle are very, very good. And I think he'd be tempted. But then maybe the rotation in the Champions League could be a lot more focused around Isak and Wilson.
That's where I think the harder Man City fixture in the Carabao Cup and the tough Champions League, I think, really hits. Because I feel like they have an equally good replacement. I mean, Wilson playing in the league is fine. So if they want Isak against Man City in the Carabao Cup, Wilson will play the game after that, which is Burnley at home. If they want Isak to play Dortmund away, then Wilson will cover and play the next game, which is West Ham away. So it's because they have such a good secondary option, it's not the same situation as Livramento covering Trippier. And so I think this draw puts me off the Newcastle attackers quite a bit. I was anyway not going to go there with Champions League. But you could have seen them, you know, had they had a much easier draw, that if they had an easier Champions League fixture, maybe Wilson could have started that. But I tend to think that given Isak's European experience in the past, I do think he will sort of revert to Isak playing in Europe, Wilson playing in the league, or at least fairly reduced minutes. So why would you sort of go there? And again, it applies on the wings as well, because Almiron has Jacob Murphy, and Gordon has Barnes. So now they have a really good second in line for every single position where you want to kind of attack or get their players.
Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of us went for double or triple Newcastle defence last year. And I guess this was why, because the attackers, it seems harder to tap into one. I mean, obviously people thought Almiron was the one for a while, but that soon fizzled out. And it feels like, yeah, players like Gordon, I feel like, are they ever going to become like a nailed on talisman? Probably not. And that's why, yeah, I'd default to the defenders.
Agreed. Shall we close it out with some goalkeeper discussion?
Yeah, I do want to talk about Pickford.
Yeah. And there's a question from Danny: sell Onana this week or spare the transfer till the international break? Let's talk Johnston, Pickford, Onana and others. So tell me, how are you feeling about Pickford?
I'm actually quite relaxed about Pickford. Surprisingly, even despite what happened last night. I don't want to use a transfer on it. I think the rotation still looks brilliant. I mean, Sheffield United, then obviously those of us who have Turner can bring Turner in. Obviously, Brentford's not ideal. But then it's Luton at home, Bournemouth at home, and then possibly you might be looking at wildcard. A lot of people might be looking at wildcard. So the fact there's Luton and Bournemouth at home give me hope. The fact that no real goalkeepers have done that well either. Like, there was a lot of risk with goalkeepers pre-season. Like, Steele, for example, we knew he could get replaced, and he did get replaced.
Yep.
Johnston wasn't a clear number one. I never saw this happening, by the way, but he wasn't like, he hadn't held the shirt for years. It was more Guaito had this dispute about his contract. So he didn't have the shirt locked down. Flecken didn't have the shirt locked down. Pickford, I can't see being replaced. So that's kind of nice. And I mean, a goalkeeper like Onana, who was asked about, he's not going to be replaced either, is he? Obviously being a huge signing and important to the way you play, so all the way you want to play. So I'm okay with Pickford, but I mean, I'm not, I don't feel amazing, if that makes sense.
The underlying data has become worse. I mean, I know it's only 3 game weeks and obviously that's always a caveat, but it's become worse and they're almost the bottom XG conceded team. You know, FPL Chase does these last 12 game weeks rolling averages. Bottom last 12 game weeks is Everton. I'm not worried, but I will be more worried if Forest don't play Turner, because their Forest are in for another goalkeeper as well. So I get more worried if after this game week, let's say he concedes against Sheffield United, and then now you're looking at a non-rotation option of Pickford sort of going into the next 4 game weeks or longer if you don't have to wildcard. So this is a little bit of a... And you know, before the Paulinho news, I was thinking maybe going to Leno is fine, because after this game week, Fulham's fixture is actually great. They play Luton at home, Palace away, Chelsea at home, Sheffield United at home. So until wildcard 1, if it's game week 9, Fulham's fixtures are great. But now Paulinho is leaving. So do you really want to go for another team that is weaker in defence, that have lost their really, really important DM? Maybe not. So then what are the options? You can go for an Edison, but that's a million. You need to find a million to get there. You can get to a Pope. I mean, if you wanted Newcastle defence and you don't want to go for Trippier, you can use that money and get to a Pope. But are these real upside moves, especially as you're, you know, not into... If I was post wildcard 1, I would make the move, because this goalkeeper I need to have for 20 game weeks. For 4 game weeks, I'm also relaxed.
That's the thing. Not only are you using a transfer, but it's the money as well. A lot of the ones you mentioned who are good, you're going to be taking money out of your team, when already we're talking about things down the line. We want to get to Trippier. You know, what if we want to go for Son instead of Maddison? You're sucking that money out of the team. And I think a lot of goalkeeper hauls are quite lucky as well. So I'm almost hoping just to hold him and get lucky. I mean, you mentioned Leno, game week 1, Fulham Everton. Leno got a haul, but it was very, very, very fortunate. There was a goal disallowed and he made loads of saves. So
correct.
I'm basically just hoping to get lucky, and that in one of these games or two of these games, they keep a clean sheet, he saves a penalty. Because I do feel, I got accused last year of talking about goalkeepers a lot, but I feel like there's a lot of luck with goalkeepers.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Onana, week 1.
Correct. I mean, that was a blatant getting lucky. Yeah. I mean, he should have conceded a pen as well. But
then he could have saved a pen. So
correct. So yeah, we just hope that Everton concede a couple of pens and he saves one, and then we're happy with Pickford. Look, I think I completely agree with you. It's the, if you think about at the end of the season, good strikers will score 200 plus, good midfielders will score 250 plus, good defenders will score 160 plus. Mm-hmm. Goalkeepers are like 130, 120. You know, a great goalkeeper can get to 150, 160, 180. But you don't have to panic about the goalkeeping position. If you get it horribly wrong in the next 4 game weeks, you'll end up with 8 points. And somebody who gets it right will end up with 15, 16 points. So if you're using up a transfer, you're giving up 4 points. If that's the value of a transfer, then you're not really getting that upside. And as you said, there's no real standout keeper, maybe apart from Flecken, if you wanted to get there. But Flecken's next four aren't the best either. No. So after this game week, I mean, this after he plays Bournemouth at home, Flecken doesn't have the easiest run either. So I think you just chill. Whoever you have, just chill.
Yeah, and we can always be inspired by, like, Danny Ward, for example. I mean, Leicester were awful last year. We saw the start. They were getting 1 point every week, as in Ward and Everson. And then it changed. And some might argue that was luck. But I think that's just what we got to hope for. Exactly. I'm not going to use a transfer there at all.
And by the way, Johnston owners, obviously Dean Henderson has signed for Crystal Palace. But Dom Smith, who writes for the Evening Standard, this is his quote from an hour ago, which is, Roy Hodgson very much still sees Sam Johnston as number one for the foreseeable. So I think Johnston owners don't have to worry. You know, you should get the next couple or even more. And until wildcard one, actually, you should be okay. So I think Johnston owners should be the most comfortable at the moment if these quotes are indeed true. Obviously, if Henderson shows up against Wolves, then it's a problem. But I think according to this, it should be okay.
Especially if they've got a backup, like a playing backup, which a lot of us seem to have, well, at the moment anyway. And I know Areola, I think he's the top scoring goalkeeper, but his fixtures, I mean, you might see, obviously, the Luton fixture. But then, obviously, on this graphic, they've got City, then Liverpool. Then there's Sheffield United, which is nice. But then there's Newcastle and then Villa.
Correct. But he got lucky. He saved a pen. That's why he's the top scoring goalkeeper.
Exactly. And it just shows, like you say, they're all bunched together at the end of the year. And that's why. I know it doesn't always make great content, so there's luck involved. But I think with goalkeepers especially, there really is. There's just so many examples of it. Yep. I mean, I would like a team who can keep more clean sheets than Everton. Don't get me wrong, but it's not a huge problem.
I'm going to end the goalkeeper section by saying I'm not ruling it out that I do Pickford to Edison next week. I just get pissed off and I do it. But does that have enough upside? No. So I'm not going to repeat myself.
I honestly thought about it a couple of weeks ago, not because of Pickford, well, partly because of Pickford, but just because I really wanted Edison.
Right.
So I can get that one. But I still we'll wouldn't, because I guess it's the transfer. But you're in a much better position than me, Praz, so you can probably afford to do it.
Next four after this week, even Man City play West Ham away and Arsenal away in the next four. So, yeah, they could get two clean sheets, but I'm not expecting more than two clean sheets. I mean, again, Man City can do well against any team, but I have to also take into account them stepping off the gas because of these midweek games and conceding the odd goal, which they always do. So there is no unicorn goalkeeper at the moment, at least.
We were talking about getting lucky, goalkeepers getting lucky, and Edison's not one to do that, to be honest.
He never gets lucky.
I even remember him getting booked in game week 38 a couple of years ago. He got booked on the bench. And a lot of people didn't have a playing goalkeeper. He didn't start, got booked on the bench, got people minus one. So, yeah, he's never been blessed.
Yeah. Leave it there?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've covered all the main topics. We probably spent way too long on my benching headache, but I needed that. Believe me, I needed that.
Absolutely fine. And this is the last Friday anyway. I think by next week, we'll have a little bit more chilled out where there'll be more time to the deadline. We can, hopefully we won't have done early transfers. So we will continue this next week. We are podding in the international break, right? We'll do a little bit of a short podcast looking back at the first four game weeks and what have we learned.
Yeah, no, that would be good. Yeah, it'd be good to reflect on stuff without a deadline looming. And please remember to like and subscribe, everyone. And there's still 30% off at Fantasy Football Scout as well. So there is a link in the description below. And yeah, thanks for everyone joining in the chat today. And Praz, I will see you. I'm assuming it will be this time that next week, but we'll...
Time next week, probably. Awesome. We'll coordinate. But thank you, everyone. And yeah, after this week, happy international break.